I remember going to church as an adult, right, for the first time when I started going to church, and I would walk in, and the pastor was like, he said, I want you to pray with your neighbor. And I'm like, well, my neighbor don't go to this church. I don't know if you want me to... You want me to call my neighbor on the phone? That's creepy. I ain't gonna do that. Right, then they explained to me, right, your neighbor is a person sitting next to you. Listen, I'm brand new at this Christian stuff. I didn't even know you're supposed to pray out loud, let alone with this lady. I don't even know this lady. What am I supposed to pray about? Lord, help these bumps go down on this lady's face. I don't know what to pray about. I don't know what I'm supposed to pray about, right? She went first. She was praying all good, and she must have been John the Baptist's little sister or something. Praying. She was like, Dear Heavenly Father, you said in your word in the 6th chapter, the third verse of the book of Matthew, the 601st word on page 1248. Lord, you said, but seek, S is in search, E is in everywhere, E is in excellent, K is in kingdom. You're the Alpha, Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. I'm thinking, man, she even know his nicknames.
That's hilarious. How many of you can kind of relate to that? It's like, we know that prayer is important. How many of you would say prayer is important? We pretty much go, yeah, okay, I'm with you on that one. And how many of you would also say, I should pray more. I should pray more. Yeah, okay, maybe you feel that way too. So here's the thing. It's kind of an opening thought is, if we know prayer is important, why don't we pray more, right? And not like, you know, like, why don't you? You know, you should, you ought to. It's not like, really, I mean, why don't we pray more? And so that's part, we want to kind of demystify through this series about what prayer really is all about. And so as we begin today, I want to give a couple of reasons why we may not pray as much or as often as we really desire to and think that we should. So here's number one. If you're taking notes today, you can go ahead and pull out that outline or it's on your app. We're not sure we know how to pray. I mean, it's like maybe I missed that class when they taught how to do this. And so nobody's ever really taught me. I'm not sure I know how to pray. Or like him in the skit, you've listened to somebody else pray. We talked about that last week. You've listened to somebody else pray from across the room or in a circle, and you're like, oh, man, they know what they're doing. And I don't sound like that. And so we get nervous on, like, somehow we don't know the right phrase to use or the right way to say something. And so we feel like we don't know how to pray. Remember from last week, and if you weren't here last week, go on our website and look at last week's message. One of the most important things that we wanted to point out is this reminder that prayer is not a ritual. Prayer is a relationship. And so really it's just about connection and communicating with God. That's what, it's not a ceremony. We don't have a certain way that we have to say things. So really we do know how to pray if we know how to talk, right? But that's one. Here's another one that happens. We get bored or distracted while trying to pray. Let me know you're with me sometimes. We get bored or distracted. How many of you have done this? I've done this too many times. Two, I can't even count how many times. I'll get ready for a time of prayer with God, and I'll start my prayer, and I'll say, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness today. I just pray that you would be with me, and I just want to say what time is that game tonight? Right? And you're thinking, what am I going to have for dinner? I wonder how things are going to be. And then you're like, catch yourself, and you come back, and then you're, you know, about 30 seconds into it again, and then you're thinking about that coworker who ticked you off yesterday. And that. So we get distracted sometimes, or we get bored. For years, I never knew really what prayer could really be and accomplish. I remember there was an occasion, it was my first church that I was pastoring, and I took my staff. We would go to a lot of conferences that were very practical. Like, we're going to our staff here is going to be going to one down at Saddleback with Rick Warren in just a couple of weeks and learn good stuff, good things that really help us do ministry well and equip people. It's wonderful. But this one conference that we went to, it was in Texas, it wasn't practical. It was just like a spiritual retreat that went on for like 3 days of hard, good speaking, passionate speakers, times praying, and all of this stuff. So I thought, we need that. That's good too. So I took our staff and we went down. And we're enjoying ourselves. It's really good. And they announce, okay, for those interested, we're gonna have a prayer, we're gonna have a night of prayer. It's gonna start at 10 p.m. and go to 6 a.m. Right? And I didn't know that people did things like that. I fell asleep in a prayer room one time. No joke. That was the closest thing I'd ever had to a night of prayer. So we get back to our hotel room and we're talking about what we're gonna do in the evening, and then we thought, should we go? I mean, should we go to this thing? There can't be that many people who would go actually show up for this, so maybe we should show our support and go. So I said, all right, guys, let's do it. Let's go and do this thing, and remember to grab your pillow because it's going to be a long night. That was my level of expectation for the evening. And I remember we drove up in our car. True story. Not because most of the stories I tell are not true. I feel like I have to preface that. So we get out of the car, we're walking up to the church, and the first thing I'm noticing is the parking lot is full and people are packing in. There was like 300-400 people there for this all-night prayer meeting, and we're stunned by that. We don't realize until we get into the auditorium and we're looking around that we're the only people in all the auditorium, four of us, with our pillows in our hands. That's kind of how I thought about, like, you know, I thought we'd pray a little bit, take a nap, wake up, eat a croissant, have some orange juice, maybe some grapes, pray, go back to sleep. I thought that's what they prayed all night long. It was something that awakened me to something that was possible, of not just having these little devotional lives. So for many, prayer is boring. It's not working. It's not connecting. You're getting distracted. Here's another little helpful thing. Pray the way that works for you. The way that works for you. Back in my old church, I had these five guys that I mentored. And in the beginning of the time where I was starting to really pour into them and mentor them, I would meet with them individually in my office. And for some of them, it was like pulling teeth. We couldn't connect. It wasn't happening. I was working too hard to try to get stuff out of them. And I realized this setting is all wrong. And so what I did is with Jimmy, who was one of the men, Jimmy, we went surfing together. Because then he just opened up. Life came open. With Jason, we would eat all the time. We kept the Hawaiian barbecue place across the street from our church open for business, the two of us. So we would eat. Shiloh had to be at the beach. And so we'd go down to the beach and we'd either walk a trail or we'd sit on a picnic table and we'd talk right there just in nature. Greg, it was always coffee. We'd go down to Starbucks, have coffee and talk. And Mike, the office was good for him. He liked that. Each one of these men, kind of in a different environment, that environment worked for them. We're very unique. And so some people pray really well when they're down on their knees and they fold their hands and they do this and they pray. For me, I tend to get very distracted. My mind goes like that. And so what I do every day is I walk in my backyard. I'll walk around inside the church. I'll walk around. I want to be outdoors and talk to God. And there are times when maybe I'll pray in a chair or something like that, but that works for me. And so find a way that works. If what you're doing and you go into prayer, if it's too mechanical, it's going to be boring and you're going to get distracted. So mix it up this week. Maybe go for a walk. Maybe put on some headphones and listen to some worship music and then spend some time talking to God as you're doing that. Whatever that is, we want to find what works for us. Here's another common reason many of us don't pray more often. We think our requests are too small for God. That what I'm interested in, God isn't. And we talked about that specifically last week. We are His creation. Each one of us individually, God is, He's not just interested in humanity. He is interested in you, your hopes, your fears, your goals, your desires, those things that interest you. And so He's interested in the details of your life. Man, I tell you what, I'd be crushed if the only time our kids came to us to really talk with us when it was what they considered to be a big deal event, or if it was just rote and mechanical. We want to know the details. We want to talk about stuff. We want to talk about life and do life together. And that's the same way I believe this. It's not just a nice thought. This is what I've learned in my experience of walking with him. He is interested in all facets of my life. Good days, bad days, successes, failures. When I feel shame and when I feel too much pride. All of it. He walks with us through those things. God is intimately interested. So it's not that our requests are too small for God. And here's the last one here. We're not sure our prayers will make a difference. It's one reason somebody might not pray. Not sure. Who am I to think that I could really make a difference with God, right? So we may think, you know, I'm not sure I really make a difference. Or what about those prayers that have gone unanswered? And that's messing with me. And so now I think, why should I keep praying? Because some other prayers I prayed had not been answered, right? That's an important one. In fact, it's such an important topic. The last message of this series, we're going to deal entirely with that subject. What do we do when it seems God is not answering our prayers? That's an important one, yeah? So be here for that one. Listen, all of this is to help us. Number one is to demystify and debunk some of these things around that have surrounded prayer that make it something that has been in our minds saved for the spiritual elite. But we also want to remember prayer, it's not the end goal. It's not like prayer is the thing we're really going after so that we can sound better or do it right. Prayer is that thing, that mode which connects us to the end goal, which is a relationship with God. That's the end goal, right? And that's prayer's function. In fact, remember our series, Big Idea, write this down. We pray so that we can be connected to God and his power. That's the reason we pray. We want to be connected to God and his power. I want to ask you a question this morning. Will you anticipate with me today that God speaks to your heart and challenges you to come to a whole nother level in prayer, no matter where you're at right now? Would you just agree with me in your heart for that? Because I sense that in the first service. I believe that he really wants to do that in some people's lives here today. So each week, we're looking at a different prayer of the Apostle Paul. He's the man who wrote most of the New Testament. And he wrote these prayers for his friends. He was praying these prayers for his friends, for churches. And so this one was written to a church in Ephesus. And think about it like this. He's praying for his buddies. And this is what he prays. Ephesians chapter 3. I pray that out of his glorious riches, that's God's, he may strengthen you with, through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have, can we not whisper it? There we go. Power is one of those words that you can't just say power. I want power. We may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp, get this, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, that's a prayer. That's some things that are really big and true about God, who he is, and what he wants to do. Look at this glorious riches part. That first verse says, I pray that these things come out of his glorious riches, that he has everything that we need. Whatever our need is, he has the ability, he has this glorious riches to beat that addiction, to bring you into the person and the purpose that you were created to be. He has that ability to do that, to restore that family, to give you power to actually truly be a witness for Christ. When we look to ourselves for these things, man, it's limited. You know that. And certainly can't be just about trying harder. And so Paul is saying, look, I pray that you know about his glorious riches, who is able to do immeasurably even more than you would ask or think. That's what he's saying right there. All the power we need is in him. Yeah? All the power we need is in him. So I want you to pay attention to this next fill-in real quick here, right here. I want you to think about, because I'm not going to give you the answer for this fill-in. You're going to write in your own answer. Where do you need God's power in your life? Where is it? Is it to become more loving? Is it to be at more peace? To more patience? Is it to be able to forgive somebody? Is it to be able to get rid of that anger? Where is it where you know in your life you need not your resources, you need God's power in your life? I want you to write that down right now. Write that down. If you're a little embarrassed that the person next to you is going to see what you write down, write it in code. What's important is that you know what it is. And we're writing that down here. The power I need to blank is found in God. The power I need to overcome this, be free from this, think differently, whatever that need is, it's found in God. See, that's the premise. That's how we approach this whole thing is, number one, we understand this. The power is there. I just haven't tapped into it yet. But the power is there. I have my favorite golf course in all the world is Kauai Lagoons back at our home. And it's gorgeous, and you can play for, if you live there, they have a, you know, local special, so you can, it doesn't break the bank to pay there. So I loved playing there. When I was back there, I played there for a couple of years. I played there almost every week because it's just gorgeous, and again, it didn't cost much. And but their golf carts, they have this thing on all golf carts, but there it seemed to be even slower. It's like a governor, right? It's a governor. So it keeps you from going NASCAR on the golf course, right? So it's slow. And in this particular golf course, it's so beautiful, but a lot of times between one hole and another, there's quite a journey you got to go on just to get to them. And it's beautiful. You're down, you're by the creek, and you're seeing the jungle and going through it, and you come up. But when you're going uphill, whether it's on the course itself or in these detours, man, those buggers were so slow. And you're just, anybody know how I feel when the golf cart is just too slow and you're going? So this was my dilemma until one time I golfed with a friend of mine who happened to be a golf pro. And we get in the cart. It was the first time I golfed with him. We get in the cart and we get out of the vision of the clubhouse and he says, pull over. I'm like, all right. And he reaches in his golf bag and he pulls out like a wrench and he opens the seat of the golf cart and he gets down there and I still don't even know what he's doing. He gets down there and he tweaks with the spring action there. And then he shuts the seat. He says, all right, let's go. And I hit the gas and it's like, phew, from Prius to Porsche. It's funny because I'm getting chicken skin and goosebumps right now thinking about how fun that was at that moment. A fast golf cart, and man, we boogied through this course. It was fun. At the end, I said, you got to show me how to do that. He goes, no, not with your personality. You cannot be responsible with this bit of knowledge. So he didn't. He wouldn't show me. He's like, you're going to bust it for the rest of us who do these things. So sorry, Mark, love you, but no. The whole time, there was this capability that I didn't know how to tap into. And that's our prayer life. It's like there's this, he says, he's got these glorious riches. It's just a matter of tapping in. Everything we need is found in God. It's all there for that transformation to take place in our lives, for that transformation to take place in our families' lives, in our communities. It's all there. So we want to know, how do I tap into that? Because are you like me where you're at a place in life too? It's like, I want to see some things get done in the kingdom of God, in our life, in this world, and in Venice. Let's see some things really get done that bring glory to God. All right, well, here's two. I'm going to go over a couple of mistakes and then a couple things that are positive of how we should. So two prayer mistakes. You can write this down. Our prayers are too small. Our prayers are too general. That's one mistake we make. I think most of us tend to make a mistake like that, that we'll go into prayer and we'll pray something like, God, I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. Pray that you would be with me today. Pray that you'd bless me. Pray that you'd protect my family and just be with us today. Amen. And God's like, that's all you got for me right there? Because I, you know, like already said in my word, I would never leave you and I would bless you and I'm protecting you. It's like, right? God's like, stop and think just for a moment about who you're praying to. He says, let's not just be too small in our prayers and too general in our prayers. It's God. It's like you had Gordon Ramsay as your personal chef and all you asked him for was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. This is God. He's saying, what you got? I'm God, by the way. What do you have? Come on, come to me with more than, would you just bless me and keep me and help me, you know, do better today or be with me? And he's like, I'm already there. I got that, whether you asked it or not. I'm there with you. I told you I'd never leave you, never forsake you. I'm bless you. I'm watching over you. I got that, and I appreciate that. He'll take that too, but he's like, come on, I'm God. And we need to be reminded, at least I do. Sometimes I need to really be reminded of who it is I'm praying to and pause for a second and say, you know what? Wait, let's raise this up a little bit. Let's not be so nebulous with our prayers and so just generalized with our prayers and not pray so small prayers when we have a God who is ready to do some pretty outstanding things. The problem with small general prayers is they do not move God to big, massive actions. So we want to be careful on that. We want our prayers of just bless me and protect. I learned this lesson. I've learned it many times, but the time I learned it the first time, and if I've shared this story before, I'm sorry, but I am over 50 right now, and that's my excuse. So here it is. This is when I first learned it. I was pastoring my first church, and it was in Northern California, and the worship leader that was there when we came and doing the stuff, he had left, and the church was going, and it was growing, and it was exciting, and we needed a new worship leader. And so I've been praying about it. Lord, we just need a new worship leader. God, send us a worship leader. And I've been praying that. And one day I was on Highway 80, driving down the road. I still remember it. And I'm praying. I said, Lord, we need a worship leader. And I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart and said, who do you want? I really did. I felt like, who do you want? And I went, okay, I'll play along. because that was really my, okay, all right, this is fun. And I knew. I wasn't even thinking about who was possible, but who would I want? I wanted Steve Smith. Steve Smith was lead singer for a band that really touched my life. This band was always at the conferences we went to, and he was insanely talented, wonderful, wonderful guy. His music, churches all over were singing. So I said, I want Steve Smith. And then I was just kind of laughing, like this was a fun little game I had with God on the highway. Now we'll get back to reality and pray for whatever else. A couple days passes, and I'm in prayer, and I feel like the Lord convicts me and says, you haven't called him yet. I was like, come on. I was really feeling embarrassed, like, come on. And I felt convicted, though. So I called a guy, a friend of mine who ran in circles that I didn't run in. But he was a friend of mine. I thought he may know somebody who knows him or something. I called him. I told him, don't judge me. Just try to get me his number. I promise I won't be weird with this guy. Just try to get me his number. He did. Calls me a couple days later, gives me his number. And I got his number, and I call the number on my phone. It's a voicemail. I leave a voicemail saying, you don't know me. This is Mark Randolph. I pastor a church in Northern California. It is incredibly important that you call me immediately. Bye. I thought, maybe I'll just get a call back because he's afraid that I have his kid for ransom or something like that. So he calls me back. He calls me back. And I go, oh, dude, you know, I know, I never met, but I've been a, you know, fan of your stuff and everything like that. I go, here's the thing. I'm just going to come out with it. We're looking for a worship leader, and you are on my heart. And he asked me a question. He was just being very cordial with me, you know, real nice. And so we were talking, and I go, I know it's crazy. He goes, oh, my family and I, we just took kind of a rest from traveling and doing things. So he goes, tell you what, I don't know, whatever, but, you know, I like you, so we're just going to come hang out with you on Sunday in your church. Just say hi. I go, cool. So he shows up on that Sunday and never left, became our worship leader for the next year. See, it's a God thing. God was teaching me a lesson with that. I did that this last time when we got here and we needed the worship leader. And we were praying, Lord. Now I don't, you know, always tell God I want that person. And that God's not my Santa Claus who does everything at my beckoning. But it's like, Lord, you know who belongs here. Send them. Nobody else. Send them. Send that. And then, you know, I was interviewing different people. And then all of a sudden I get a call from a friend of one of our churches and says, I know a guy. Happened to be actually his name was Guy. Who has been an amazing fit for us right here at Venice Church. And then to bring Maya on too, like that, it's like, bring your prayers up to a higher place where we don't just settle. Man, I'm just happy with, you know, what is. God is saying, you know, I'll dwell with you there. If that's where you're dwelling, I love you. I'm with you there. But if you'll hear his voice saying, come on up. There's more. Remember, I have glorious riches. I'm not only able, but I'm willing. I'm not only willing, but I'm able to do immeasurably more than you can ask or think. What's that look like? That looks like, well, here's the to-dos. Here's the prayer to-dos. This is how we ought to pray. Write this down. And I've already been alluding to it. Pray big and specific prayers. Pray big and pray specific. So what that looks like, we'll say in honor of Father's Day, we'll talk about men, wives, if praying for a husband. Here's the prayer you don't want to pray that's so general. Lord, help my husband not be such an idiot. Make him stop. You know, amen. But maybe you go to prayer and you say, Lord, I pray that you would open his heart to understand the depth of your love. God, I pray for nobility. In fact, I speak nobility and strength over him and honor over him. I pray that you send him men that will spark this in his life and a group of friends that will spark this in his life. I pray that you help him understand how valuable he is and how much we need him. I declare that over this man in Jesus' name. You see the difference? Sometimes we don't see what we want to see because we're like, Lord, do something, would you? We want to pray big. And we want to pray specific prayers. Because of who he is and his ability and his desire to answer prayers and to do things. Somebody once said, God does nothing unless it's an answer to prayer. I don't know about that, but I know I get the sentiment that he is saying, who will pray? Who will believe me? Who will move out in faith? So that God can do something that only God gets the glory for, right? Because it was big and it was specific. I want to read that verse one more time. The first part of in Ephesians, just on screen, not the whole thing, just part of it. Now to him, in fact, read it with me, ready? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. A little side note, just I think maybe helpful, is I don't know if you're in the practice of journaling or not. I got into that practice when I was about 24 years old, and it's I can't imagine not having that. I've got dozens of journals that have been filled up, and one of the things I love to do is go back and read. I'll read one from 1997 or something and see these prayers that have been written down and what God has done. Encouraging. We gave out those journals at our 201 last week. If not, come tell me you need one. I'll get you one if you need one. But some way to write these things down, to pray them in, to watch what God does as we increase our level of faith and expectations. We are a part of a network of churches, as you know, our East Lake Network, and I'm so glad to be a part of this network for so many reasons. But one is because of the audacity of their prayer goals. And their faith goals. When Pastor James at Chula Vista shared with me for the church network, the vision, and this was about a year ago, it so resonated because it was already something I'd been praying about and what I wanted to be a part of. And so he shared it at his church. I made just a 1 minute clip of it, just so you can hear. As a network of churches, this is our vision, our prayer ask over the next 20 years.
And I want to share a 20-year dream that is a bold, specific, audacious, faith-filled goal and prayer that I have for our church. And I've written it down. And it's on the wall in my office. I have a prayer wall section where I have magnets and things up there that I pray over all the time. And I have this paper with kind of like, here's our 20-year crazy God dream as a church. And I just want to read the top to you. In the next 20 years, Eastlake Church will develop and deploy, we call that leadership multiplication, disciples and leaders into more than 50 new communities to plant 50 churches in order to share the Jesus story with every man, woman, and child. We call that gospel saturation, where every single person has the ability to hear the good news story of Jesus. That's a crazy big dream. We will be a catalyst for a movement of more than 50,000 people living on Jesus' mission.
Yes. That's what we're gonna do. 20 years, 20 churches, 50,000 people come to the Lord. I love that, because that was when I had been praying, Lord, what's the vision that you're giving me for Venice Church and giving our leaders and our staff for Venice Church? It was not to become just a mega church, not to just grow and try to get into the thousands or try to do this and have that. How many of you have been there, done that, okay? What was in my heart was, how can we multiply? So when James shared this, I was like, yes. And ever since then, been praying for that. And I believe that God is calling us here at Venice Church to be a part of that multiplication, to where every 2 years, at a minimum, we want to plant one church. Every 2 years, at a minimum, plant one church. At a minimum. I'm shooting for two churches in 2019 as our first year to launch this. So to do that, and then by the time the 20 years comes around in this, our Venice Church community had a big part in seeing that overall vision for our whole network come to pass. And that means there's going to be people that are going to find themselves in the seats here that are for here. Well, they're not sure why, but something stirs in their heart. God's calling them to leave, and we send 50 people with them, and we plant a church in Torrance, or we plant a church in Beverly Hills, or we plant one in Malibu. How many of you sign up for the Malibu one? You say, I'll take the Malibu one. I got that one. I got the Malibu. Wherever, God's going to put different areas on your heart, on our hearts, and we're going to do that. We're going to grow as we already have been, growing, get strong, get established, and then let's send out. Let's continue to multiply, because it's not just about us. It's about bringing gospel saturation to our communities. And I think LA could use a little bit of gospel saturation, in my opinion, right? It's the same thing with our children's ministry. We're praying that for our children's ministry, that it would be an off the hook, the most epic hour of the week for our kids. Not only for fun, but that they encounter Jesus. And we're seeing now that start to spring forth. Get behind Malika and the team and the directors there. Tell them, I want to be a part of that vision for the children's ministry and see that thing be incredible. Let's make it incredible. And thank you for those of you who already are. I want to close with a verse. I'm going to ask the band to come back up, because we're going to sing a song at closing. But there's a verse that speaks to this right here. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Read this with me. You ready? In your outdoor voice. Here we go. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Let's come boldly, not skittishly, not ashamedly. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. It's a throne of grace, not of works. And we will obtain mercy. We will obtain help in our time of need. That's how God. So here's the question. Will you begin to pray this week big, specific prayers? Will you do that? You don't have to. But perhaps you've been stirred today thinking, maybe that's it. I've just been praying these generalized prayers. Will you pray specific prayers this week? Write them down. Maybe get a prayer journal going and begin to see your faith grow. God wants you to boldly approach his throne of grace. He's got some things he wants to do in your personal life, and he's got things he wants to do in your family and in your community, where you're at. And so let's begin to pray that and see what God does, see what God does. And we look back at this summer and say, man, that's when I started praying audacious prayers. That's when things started changing. I can't wait for that. Let's pray right now. Lord, thank you. Thank you for calling us to this. Thank you that you call us to something that you don't disappoint with, you don't tease with. Thank you for all of your glorious riches. I pray and just affirm that over each one of our lives, you want to do immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine. So help us, God, tap into that, to take off the restraints, to be unshackled, and to run with you, Lord. I pray that you stir us up individually and as a church, that we may see your glory come. In Jesus' name, amen.